The National Broadcasting Company will interrupt all its programs to bring you the latest bulletins. Saturday afternoon, and time to drop in at the Sportsman's Club for another of the favorite sports stories of Grantland Rice. Yes, every Saturday afternoon is yarn spinning time down at the Sportsman's Club, where the sports fans gather every week at this time as guests of the Dean of American Sports Writers, Grantland Rice. Granny Rice has been on hand for all the great sporting events of the past 30 years. And when the arguments get a little too warm, it's Granny Rice who has to step in and settle them for the grandstand managers and Monday morning quarterbacks. But the big event of these Saturdays at the Sportsman's Club is a sports story especially selected for the fans by Granny himself. So let's drop in at the club and meet Grantland Rice.
Where do you think Dixie Walker learned his baseball? Right on a farm pasture, the same as him.
Well, this guy's no Dixie Walker.
You give him time and he will be. For my money, he's the best center fielder in the league.
Sure, and where are your Cubs now? In last place. Oh, there's Grantland Rice coming in now. Hey, Granny.
Hello,
Granny.
Hi.
Well, hello, fellas. Say, did somebody say something about the Cubs?
Yeah, we were talking about Andy Pafko, their center fielder. What do you think of him, Granny?
Well, Pafko's quite a boy. Now, you know, Billy Southwood, the Cardinal manager, picked him as the best of the National League rookie crop. And coming from the pilot to the league champions, that's pretty high praise, fellas.
Oh, I'll say that is.
Well, I'll tell you, I suppose you're ready now for our Saturday afternoon yarn.
That's what we came to hear. What's the story today, Granny?
Well, today it's a baseball story. And oddly enough, it's about a rookie shortstop who is also a farm boy, like Andy. It was written by W.T. Ford, and it's called Sandlot Phenom.
Well, let's hear it, Granny.
Well, this is a story of a miracle, fellas. At least some baseball fans would call it that. And I know every member of the Scorpions team wouldn't call it anything else. But the fellow who knows the story best is Lou Brudd, manager of the Scorpions. And the way he tells it, honestly, you just got to believe him. I'll say that.
As you know, unless you come from the North Pole, in which case there's no sense talking, this has been a new kind of baseball season. The players are at a premium, and the fattest kind of check won't bring the first-class players because they just ain't there. Well, the Scorpions are in just such a predicament this spring. At first, the team is right up there with the leaders, and then they begin to slip faster and faster, and the crowds keep getting thinner and thinner. Until it begins to look as if the termites in the bleachers will be the only spectators left to witness the daily slaughter.
Scorpions 16-2. Yes, what the Scorpions need's a good shortstop. In fact, they need a shortstop, period. And I guess J.C. Keppert would go clear to the North Pole to get one. And that reminds me, ladies and gentlemen, you don't have to go clear to the North Pole to get Semke's tasty trained hot dogs, trained not to give you indigestion. Well, now, here's Jackson coming up. The crowd's howling for something to happen. They're really fighting mad. We'll turn up our field microphone so you can hear them.
Well, of course, old J.C. Keppert, the owner of Scorpions, he don't take none of this too lightly. He's on the verge of having himself and his club lapped right out of the league, and what's more, he knows it. Well, me and Ivory Joe Kelso are sitting in the old man's office above the dugout, watching him get purple in the face.
Rex, that's all we've got on this team. Serving Rex. I tell you, I've got to have a shortstop. If I have to hunt for one with a gun.
Now be careful of your heart, J.C.
You know, you're saying you'd have to go hunting for a shortstop. I was thinking even a stuffed one would look better than the one we've been using.
You're not funny, Ivory Joe Kelso. You're not a bit funny. And it won't be funny when you lose your job.
Yeah, J.C.
The way the fans stay away, you think the grandstands were quarantined. I don't blame them with the exhibition we're putting up.
Well, Hannah told me the other day that he played shortstop for half a season with Oshkosh when he broke into organized baseball. Maybe.
And who in the devil would do the catching for us, you poor cluck?
Be careful of your heart, J.C.
Well, yeah, you know how it is, J.C. Things like that happen.
It's no use, Brad. Maybe we better give up and admit we can't finish out the season. I hate to say it, but it looks...
I'll get it.
Hello. It's for you, J.C. Long distance.
Hold it.
Hello? Yes? Yeah? You what? Listen, there's a man here who knows where I can pick up a good shortstop.
No kidding. Who is it?
Wait a minute. Yes. Hello. This man you got a line on, you say? Caught up Joe McCarthy of the Yanks. Why, you dirty little bum. Say, who the devil is this? Listen, Chuck Steggert.
Well, he's got his...
Why, you low-down skunk. I'll make you eat those words. Hang up. That big-mouthed four-flusher had the nerve to ask me if I was going to play shortstop. By gravy, I will before I give up.
Just because he managed to get Whitey Lloyd away from me, he thinks he can give us the horse laugh, huh?
Who said he took Lloyd away from me?
Well, that's what I heard, J.C. They're saying he beat you to the signing of the kid, and now Lloyd has turned out to be a real box office and might spell pennant in the...
You're saying that, eh?
Well, I just heard it, I mean.
Ivory Joe, you always wanted to buy stock in the corporation, didn't you?
Well, sure, J.C.
All right. Get me a shortstop who can field. Just a shortstop. You don't have to hit. You get it?
Yeah, J.C., but...
Just anybody to plug that hole and pull the club together. Do that and you get 10 blocks of stock. A gift.
Yeah, J.C., but now look...
If he's a fugitive from a chain gang, I'll put up his bail. I don't care if he hangs by his tail from the trees. Maybe he's deaf and dumb. I don't care. Just so we can plug that hole at short. You get that, Kelso? You get that?
Yeah, J.C., but...
No buts. Yeah. Because if you don't come up with him, you're fired.
Okay, J.C., but it's going to be great to see Strictly F. Hunger at shortstop for this club.
Well, 3 days later, Ivory Joe calls the old man long distance from some whistle stop in the Pine Woods country.
Well, I'm in the office listening in, and the conversation, it goes something like this.
Hello, J.C.?
Yes, this you, Joe?
Yeah.
Well, have you got him? Have you got anybody?
J.C., I'm calling from...
Never mind where you're calling from. Have you got us a shortstop?
Yeah, I got him, J.C. He's a real find. I saw him.
Fine. Sign him up.
I want to tell you something, J.C. He plays the position like an octopus.
A what?
An octopus.
I don't care what kind of a puss he's got.
No, an octopus. You know, the thing that's got 8 hands.
He's got 8 hands?
Oh, no, not him, the octopus. The kid's only got 2.
That's enough. What more do you want?
Yeah, I know. He's down here with a semi-pro outfit. He can't bad enough to pop a loud foul, but he gobbles anything that's hitting the same bailiwick with him.
Well, that's fine. What's his name?
Hunger.
What? I thought you said hunger.
Yeah, that's what I said, hunger.
That's what I thought you said. What? What kind of talk is that? I don't want any of your funny business, Ivory Joe.
I'm serious, J.C. That's his name, Hunger. H-U-N-G-I-R.
Hunger? Name like that, he better be good. What's his draft status? How old is he? Over 12, I hope.
He's 20, but he's draft-proof, J.C., 4F. Punctured eardrum, a few other things wrong. But he's physically fit to play ball, though, and he wants $500 for signing.
Does he wear shoes?
Huh? Yeah, I guess so. I didn't look. Do you want me to find out?
Never mind. Go ahead, sign him. I'll wire the money.
There's one catch, J.C.
Oh, there is. I thought so. What's the matter? Does he have 2 heads? That's okay, too.
No, he won't sign unless we sign his pal, a pitcher named Titus. Pop Titus.
Titus? Never heard of him. What's this guy got?
Well, he's sort of a guardian to hunger. He's also a crystal ball gazer.
A what?
A crystal ball gazer. You know, a guy that looks inside of a ball and tells the future. But hunger can feel, J.C.
All right. Sign them both. But if this hunger is a bust, Joe, you want to start running.
Well, old J.C., he feels fine now. He's almost ready to celebrate when he gets another long-distance phone call. This one is from Chuck Stegen, owner of the Bruins.
Here you sign a rookie called Joe Hunger, J.C., you old fathead. Congrats. I was looking him over myself.
Is that so? You tried to get him, huh?
I said I was looking him over, J.C.
You old tightwad, it serves you right. Well, Chuck, an old J.C. opens up the checkbook. He isn't playing for marbles.
Yeah, but he's not quite bright.
What? I'm not quite bright.
That's no news, J.C. I said this rook hunger isn't quite bright.
I'm running a baseball club, not information, please. Save your alibis.
Save your sanity if it isn't too late, J.C. Did you know that hunger used to be in an insane asylum out that way?
Well, when the old man hears that, He almost falls out of the chair, and I give him the smelling salts. And then me and a couple of the boys, we go to work trying to call Ivory Joe before he signs up this fugitive from a nut house. But, well, Joe's a fast worker, and it's too late. J.C. is weak by this time. He can hardly talk, but, well, he says it just the same.
When Joe Kelso gets back here, I'll tear off his arm and club him to death with it. We'll say it was self-defense. But remember, Brud, not a word of this must get out. But once it leaks out, we got a full-fledged idiot holding down short. We're ruined. You get that, Brad?
Oh, yeah, J.C. I won't say a word.
I had that Hitler guy here. I'd tear out his mustache one hair at a time.
Well, the next day, when J.C. walks into his office, he has to have the smelling salts again because there is a telegram there from Ivory Joe which says, quote, "Rookie en route. I am celebrating. Remember stock promise." Unquote. Well, J.C. knows there's no more chance to head it off now, and he's ready to jump off the Empire State. When he sees a gangling, moon-faced kid in a shiny blue suit hanging around outside the rail in the outer office, he has a hungry look, too, and, well, that gives J.C. the slow burn. But the kid he talks with.
Are you Mr. Capper?
Yeah. What about it, kid?
Well, I was told to come
here.
Sorry,
we don't need an office boy. All right, kid, I'm busy. Beat it.
I'm no office boy.
I said. I'm busy. I have no time to waste.
I'm supposed to see Mr. Keppert, the owner of the Scorpions.
I know. Kind of your mother. Huh? Now go on, scram.
But I was told to come here,
Look,
Mr.
Look, kid, we don't need anybody. We already got one. Besides, Keppert went raving mad and was taken to the bunkhouse early this morning. Come back Saturday after we're closed up. Maybe Keppert won't be here then either. Now go on. Beat it.
Okay, if that's the way you want it, Mr. Keppert, okay, okay.
Well, that afternoon, J.C. is sitting in a box in the ballpark. There's scarcely more than a corporal's guard in the seats. Well, the old man has that lonely feeling as he watches the Scorpions come apart at the seam.
Well, the top of the fourth is over, and the Ravens are sitting on a four-run lead. Here's the four Scorpions getting the shellacking again, as per usual. I think old J.C. is plenty worried about it, too. He just left his box and has waddled down to the dugout, and there seems to be a gawky-looking kid out there heckling him.
Hey, Keppert, you big crook! You gotta give me my railroad fare back home, Mr. Keppert! You big crook!
Hey, who's that? Somebody you know, J.C.?
Oh, that's that moon-faced kid I ran out of the office this morning. Oh.
You big crook! Hey, Keppert, you big crook!
Oh, let me alone! Dry up, you little bum!
You big crook! I reported to the office like I was told. You gotta give me my return railroad fare, you big crook! You crook, ya!
Hey, that moon face sure is putting up a howl. Oh, look, the police are coming after you.
Come along, Sonny.
Hey, take your hands off me. You can't do nothing to me.
Okay, now the police are taking him out. Hey, he's a real pest.
Okay,
huh?
Officer. Here's a quarter. Give it him. Satisfied now, kid?
You big crook. Where do you think I come from? Around the corner? I got an all-night train right ahead of me.
Hey,
I...
wait a minute. What's your name?
Hunger. Joe Hunger.
Well, when we hear that, we rush the kid into the clubhouse and splash a monkey suit on him. Well, he seems all arms and legs. Well, anyhow, we get him back on the field just as the fifth frame is about to open. At first, the old man, he doesn't even want to look. He has a hunch it's going to be one emergency after another with his hunger around.
And then suddenly, well, we all sit up and take notice. Because things really begin to happen, but fast.
Well, it looks as if a miracle has really happened to the Scorpion. Since their new shortstop, who calls himself Hunger, well, since he came into the game, the Scorpions have been a new team, no kidding. I don't know where J.C. Keppert picked up this sandlot phenom, but he's been everywhere on this field but in the broadcasting booth. Nothing gets past that boy. Well, let's see. Houseman's up for the Ravens. It's the top of the sixth. One down, man on second base. Houseman's a right-handed hitter, you know. He's batting 3-4-2. There's the pitch, and it's wide for ball one. One and none on Houseman. All right, there's the stretch.
Here it comes. Osman swings. And it's a liner to short. Hunger cuts to his right, and he has it. He's back up on his feet, throws to second base. Double play, and the side is retired. Boy, oh boy, there was the outstanding fielding play of the day. That Hunger certainly changed the complexion of the game, and listen to that crowd cheer.
Well, the old man decides to keep Hunger under wraps and not let the newspaper see him.
So's nobody will find out that we got a nut on the team. And when Ivory Joe gets back the next day, there's nothing for J.C. to do but to pay him off. After all, the old man never told him he couldn't scout a nut house for a shortstop.
Okay, Joe. You get the stock. I certainly never thought you'd go to an insane asylum for a baseball player.
Well, I don't think there's anything wrong with the kid, J.C. He's got a one-track mind, that's all. Well, so what? His track is playing short.
Okay, Joe. Let's hope for the best. Mm. How about this Titus fella? The crystal ball pitcher who came along with Hunger.
Yeah, he's got a nice set of false plates and a good bass voice. He's arriving tomorrow.
Well, we'll just forget about him. I don't want him singing in the dugout.
Okay, J.C., I'll come.
Hey, they're here, J.C.
Who's here?
Bernie Brown and Jim Warner. They want to interview Hunger.
What's the matter with you, Brad? Didn't I tell you to say that Hunger isn't here?
Yeah.
Didn't you tell them that there is no Hunger, like I said?
Well, sure I did, J.C., but they went over to the hotel and they found out that he's been here all morning and now they want to see him.
You can't keep him in hiding all the time, J.C. They're bound to get to him sooner or later.
All right. Let them in. If they find out he's a mental case,
find out, J.C. The kid's just got a one-track mind.
All right. Let's hope for the best. Hey, Hunger! Get him, Brad.
The door's locked, J.C.
Oh, yeah. There's the key.
Oh. Hey, Hunger. The old man, he wants to see you.
You want to see me, Mr. Caput? Gosh, I was asleep.
Yeah. Come here, Hunger. Now, look, kid. There are going to be reporters who are going to ask you questions.
Me? What for?
They just want to write a story about you.
Oh.
Now, whatever you do, Hunger, don't tell them you were in the place where they had you. Oh, never mind. Let them in, Brud. Have to come out sooner or later.
Yeah, okay, J.C. Come on in, boys.
Hiya, J.C.
Hello, Brownie. Hey, Jim, glad to see you. Well, boys, this is Hunger, the new shortstop.
Hey, what were you trying to pull on us, J.C.?
Me? Why, nothing at all.
Sit down, boys, sit down.
Oh, thanks. Well, so you're Hunger.
How about a little story?
Yeah, let's see what you've done.
No, take it easy, boys, the kid is shy.
Yeah, we know. Where were you born, Hunger?
On a farm.
Oh.
That's good. Ever played much baseball before?
Not around.
Huh? Is he kidding?
Oh, he's just shy, boys.
I'll say he is. Hey, Hunger, what were you doing before the Scorpion signed you up?
Working.
Working where?
In the Beagleville plant.
Where's the Beagleville plant?
In Beagleville.
Oh, what goes, J.C.? What are you trying to pull with this guy?
Why,
anyway, huh?
Nothing, boys. You see, he's,
You want to make the majors, Hunger?
Well, yeah, I guess so.
But you're not sure. Well, anyway, how do you feel about winning yesterday's game?
Did I win it?
Oh, what the... All right, I kid.
Well, you know how it is, boys. Give him time. He's new here. Now, why don't you use a handout I gave you?
Yeah, sure. Make an exclusive out of it.
Don't forget to let us know when this prima donna decides he wants to talk.
Yeah, anytime, J.C., anytime.
Yeah, so long.
So long, boys.
Talk about bad copy. This one smells on ice.
Yeah, well, so far so good. You're doing fine, Hunger. You're doing fine.
Well, during the next 2 weeks, Hunger continues to play bang up ball, except that he can't hit. But, J.C., he don't care about that. So long as the kid plugs the hole at short and pulls the team together, he's satisfied. So everything is going along fine until we come up against Stegen's outfit. Now, this Stegen is a smart potato. Since he calls the old man about Hunger being nutty, he says nothing more about it. But he makes out like Whitey Lloyd, who is his flash second stacker, is going to murder Hunger. And the papers, they carry stories saying how Lloyd thinks Hunger's a dirty player, and how he's going to fix him but good in the game.
Well, you know, a good feud never hurt a series. So we play along with Stegen and Coach Hunger on what to say to the newspaper boys, which he does as if he doesn't mean it. But now, as I told you, Stegen is a smart potato, and he pulls a fast one on us. On the first game of the series, the park is packed, and the Bruin jockeys, they start on Hunger even before the first ball is hit.
There goes Nutty! Nutty Hunger! Back to the nut house for you, Hunger!
Back to the bed and cell, Hunger!
Oh, and J.C. hears that. He turns white. He sees the kid glance at the enemy bench with a puzzled look. So he calls him back to the dugout.
Look. Look, Hunger. They start to get rough with you. You tear right into them.
Uh-huh.
Don't be afraid to throw the spikes into them. And don't worry about what they're saying. Just get fighting mad.
Uh-huh.
What's the matter? Ain't you got any fight, kid?
You want to win this series, don't you, Mr. Kepper? Well, stop worrying. Pop Titus was studying his crystal ball last night and said we was due to win. Pop's crystal ball never fails.
And with that crack, Hunger walks away and leaves the old man speechless. And then things begin to happen.
Come on, let's go.
Hey, holy, oh, they sure did it clever, those goons. In the first inning, you see, we seen light as plain as day give Hunger the foot tripping him. But the umpire had missed it, and the kid was just too dumb or dazed to say anything. And then in the second inning, he spills him, and then he thumbs his nose at him. And all the time, the jockeys are yelping away. Oh, brother. Well, by that time, the game isn't going so well, and the Bruins are leading us 4-2. J.C. is tearing his hair and wishing all kinds of nice things on Stegen when old Pop Titus suddenly comes up the steps to the dugout. So far, nobody's paid any attention to this crystal ball gazer. Well, he's satisfied to just sit and collect the check. Anyway, he steps over the dugout steps, squints over at Hunger, who has come up to bat, and then he says...
Hey, you're still batting lefty, eh?
Hey, what do you mean, still batting lefty? Does he bat any other way?
Why, he's naturally a right-handed hitter.
What did you say?
I said he's naturally a right-handed hitter.
Well, of all the lame-brained, crazy nitwit... Hey, Charlie, call for timeout and get Hunger here right away. And get J.C.
Hang out for the Scorpion.
Well, and then Hunger, he comes trotting back to the dugout, and the old man, oh, he begins to let loose.
Now listen, Hunger. I'm running a ball club, not a buck, not a cent. When I buy a ball player, I expect
him... Oh, never mind, Mr. Cabot. I'll tell him. Bat right-handed, Joey.
Well, I don't know, Pop.
Now, never mind. You go on bat right-handed, Joey. You do as I say.
Oh, but I can't, Pop. You know, I had a bet with Peach's Diary of the old team that I'd out-hit him over the season batting lefty.
Well, you forget it. You're not in the same league with him now, Joey.
Oh, well, Keppert is beginning to wonder who's crazy now, him or the kid.
You mean he's a right-handed batter? And switched over for a bet.
Sure, he can really hit right-handed. I never noticed he was still batting from the wrong side of the plate till I just looked out.
You bat right-handed. You hear that, Hunger? You bat right-handed or I'll send you back to the... I'll throw you out of the park.
Okay, Mr. Kepper.
Well, Hunger goes back to the plate, takes the first pitch and clouts it for a blistering low liner. That's good for a three-bagger at least.
And it's a long drive off the right field wall. Hunger's rounding second base and, wow, something's happened there. Hunger suddenly went up in the air and hit the dust on his hands and knees.
Well, that's that guy Lloyd. He's done it again. This time, everybody in the dugout sees him give Hunger the foot tripping him. And again, the umpire misses it. Well, the guys in the dugout are hollering bloody murder. But all the hollering does no good. Hunger just looks blank and he don't know what hit him. But this time, there's something going on between him and Lloyd. The kid is beginning to get sore, especially when Lloyd starts in with the Bruin battle cry.
Two out, boys. I'll take care of the nutty bum. What's the matter, Nutty? You scared?
Looking for a little trouble?
The name's Whitey. The name's Whitey, known as Scrapper for short. You can get all the trouble you want, Sandlotter.
But nothing comes of the verbal fireworks. Tompkin Thee, it's a low fly, and Hunger moves to third where he expires when Basin whiffs the next one. And that finishes the inning. But the payoff comes in the bottom half of the ninth.
Bottom of the ninth, one down, the game's tied at two all. Scorpions have men on first and second, the fans are roaring for a hit. Here comes Hunger up to bat.
Look at that nutty bum!
And there seems to be a feud raging between Hunger and Lloyd. Yes, sir, almost anything could happen in this inning. Now Basin gets that signal. Here's the stretch. Here's the pitch. And it's a long drive to right field. Hey, watch this. Hunger's carrying the bat with him. He rounds first, swinging the bat over his head and streaks for second where Lloyd's waiting for the throw in. Wait a minute. There's trouble on the field, but it looks as if Hunger is chasing Lloyd around with a bat.
You said you wanted trouble, bud. So, here I come.
Now, take it easy, Hunger. Now, you can't. Hey, look out. Look out for that bat. Hunger!
Well, we never saw anything like this before, ladies and gentlemen. Lloyd's rounding third with Hunger after him, swinging the bat. Now Lloyd is running for home, and Hunger is still in hot pursuit.
Hey, Joe! Hunger! Take it easy! Hunger! It's a home run!
Well, the ball game is over. That homer clears the bases and gives us a 5-2 win. Well, the fans can hardly hold their sides laughing. That Hunger not only wins the game for us, but he makes a monkey out of Lloyd. Well, when we get inside the clubhouse after, howdy, old man, he's all smiles.
Nice going, Hunger. I'm proud of you.
Oh, thanks, Mr. Kepper. Well, I'm sorry about chasing that second base fellow with the bat, but he sure got me riled.
Oh, nobody can blame you for wanting to slug him, kid. After all, he tripped you twice.
He did? I never knew anything about that. What I got riled at was his and the other fellas calling me a nut. Now, why do you suppose they done that, Mr. Keppert?
Well, I don't exactly know.
Pop Titus says you do. Ain't that so, Pop?
That's what I heard, yep.
So you better tell me, Mr. Keppert, or I won't sign with you for next year.
That's right. You make him tell you, Joy boy.
Okay, you ask for it, kid. They're saying that because he used to be in an insane asylum. Now, mind you, I didn't say that. That's what they're saying.
Well, shucks. So what?
You mean you admit it? You do come from a nut house, kid?
Well, I don't come from one, but I used to work in one. I was assistant gardener there for 2 years until a new super fired me. Heck, I know I'm dumb, but I ain't crazy.
Are you sure about that, Joey? Are you quite sure?
Shucks, ask Pop Titus. He was the guy I was assistant to. We both got fired together.
That's right. The new super said it made the nuts nervous to watch us play baseball.
What's so funny, Mr. Kevin?
Hunger, you'll never know.
Well, so you see, Hunger wasn't no nut after all. All that worry J.C. had was for nothing. Although confidentially, in these days, you can't blame no scouts for going even to a nut house for a baseball player. Especially if he can play ball like Hunger.
Yeah, that was KW Ford's story, Sandlot Phenom. Now, next week at this time, we're going to have a golf story for you entitled Little Poison Ivy. A swell story by my old pal Charlie Van Lone, a great writer. Well, fellas, see you all next week.
Thanks.
So long. Goodbye. Goodbye, fellas. Goodbye, Bill.
This has been another visit to the Sportsman's Club for a favorite sports story of Grantland Rice. Today's story, Sandlot Phenom, was by T.W. Ford and was dramatized for radio by Ben Kagan. Our actors were Jim Backus, Santos Ortega, Barry Hopkins, Bill Adams, Jay Wesley, Billy Quinn, Cameron Prudhomme, Leonard Shearer, and Bill Lipton. George Crook was at the organ, and Grantland Rice was here in person. The production was under the direction of Herbert Rice. This is the National Broadcasting Company.